Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
The Justice Minister, Helen McEntee's claim that 80% of asylum seekers are coming into the country from Northern Ireland is not based on data, evidence or statistics, the Taoiseach has said this afternoon. Micheál Martin made the remarks in London after Justice Minister Helen McEntee claimed the number of asylum seekers crossing from Northern Ireland into the Republic is now higher than 80%. Let's get reaction now from advocacy groups for migrants in Ireland and in the UK. I'm joined by John Lannan from Durras, Limney in Limerick, and from the UK by Steve Valdez-Simmons, Refugee and Migrant Rights Programme Director with Amnesty International UK. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. John Lannan, I might turn to you first of all. That comment from the Taoiseach Micheál Martin saying that the Department of Justice had a perspective, I think is the word he used, that there had been an increase in the number of arrivals through Northern Ireland, but it's not based on evidence or statistics or data, he said. What's your reaction to that?
I agree with him. It's not based on evidence or data. There are certainly people coming across the border from Northern Ireland, but the minister appears to have based her claim on the fact that only 20% apply at a port of entry, which is mostly Dublin Airport. But to say that the other 80% come across the border is highly questionable. We don't have accurate data to indicate that. The minister must know that some people pass through immigration control before applying for asylum. There are people who have been living or studying in Ireland who may need to apply for asylum as well. Through our work, we know of people for whom the situation in their home country has changed. It became unsafe for them to return home. You know, the clampdown on a religious group, or in the case of some place like Gaza, for example, where civilians are being massacred simply for the fact that they live there. So, as I said, people do cross...
The line is failing a little bit. Let's hope that that line with John Lannan re-establishes. Is John there? If not, I'll go to Steve Valdez-Simmons for the moment. I welcome you to the programme as well, Steve. It's good to talk to you again, because I know we spoke with you about migrant issues in the UK previously, but how do you view this diplomatic impasse between the British and Irish governments?
Well, I think the starting point is that we must all recognise that the UK government has set itself out as an international freeloader, basically deciding that while it will continue to expect that other countries, including Ireland, should process the asylum claims and deal with the asylum claims of people on their territory, the UK is going to refuse to do that itself. That's wholly disgraceful. But the real issue must be then for the Irish government not to then completely concede the moral high ground, if you like, by simply mimicking what the UK is doing. People seek asylum on countries' territories, and all countries have responsibilities to them. And that one country, the UK in this instance, is behaving in such disgraceful fashion will neither be helped nor justifies any other country refusing to take its responsibilities for itself.
And what about the logic or rationale or argument, Steve, that if an asylum seeker comes from a safe country like the UK, well, then they should seek to be processed and seek to settle in that country?
Well, that's a bit of a problem with the UK now, isn't it? Because the UK has made laws. In fact, it passed a law last year, meaning that tens of thousands of people, if that law is put into effect, can happen tomorrow effectively. The UK Home Office is not permitted under UK law to even consider the person's asylum claim. So how can anyone treat the UK as a safe country for people seeking asylum in those circumstances? So we're all going to have to deal with realities here. The Irish government is perfectly entitled to bring pressure, I hope that it will, along with the EU and other countries, upon the UK government to get in line and take the responsibilities that it expects of others. Mm-hmm. But unless and until it does, there's no point treating the UK as a safe place.
This is a very difficult issue, isn't it? Without question. First and foremost, as you rightly point out, for the people in the middle of all of this, the asylum seekers, the migrants who are fleeing war and other difficult situations. But from a number of years ago now, even when the UK was in the European Union, you had thousands of migrants arriving in the Mediterranean countries. They did their best at the time under a huge amount of pressure. But eventually they said, look, hang on a second here. Why don't the other European Union countries help out in a proportionate way? So all these years later, Steve, we're in a position where we haven't come to an agreement where everybody is pulling their weight, it seems.
Well, that is undoubtedly true. And I'm ashamed to say, speaking from the perspective of a UK citizen, that this country, the UK, was right at the forefront all those years back in refusing to share responsibility. It was then Theresa May who was the Home Secretary, who even before there was a European meeting to discuss the issue of sharing responsibility, even before that meeting took place, she made perfectly clear the UK would not share responsibility with any others. And of course, many other countries followed suit. Mm-hmm. And we've continued to have exactly the same mess since. And of course, it's not just a question of the European Union sharing or European countries sharing responsibility with each other. European countries, including both of ours, the UK and the Irish government, have to recognise that it's time to share responsibility with the rest of the world. Many poorer countries doing far more in terms of hosting people fleeing persecution and conflict than our countries do at all.
Can I ask you, Steve, about reports that migrants in the UK are going to be detained from today? Is that actually happening now?
Well, I haven't got any confirmation that it has started, but certainly the reports are quite clear and they're very consistent with what ministers have been planning and indeed the laws that they've put in place over the last few months, that people are about to be rounded up, it seems, on the basis that some of them may be amongst those who are first put on a plane, the UK government hopes, to Rwanda. And so we have an increasingly hostile, menacing environment in this country for people seeking asylum. And let's remember, mm-hmm. it's not people who've been refused asylum. We're not talking about people who've had their claims considered and found to have no entitlement to be here. It's people who've done nothing more than legitimately say, I'm a refugee, please provide me protection. Please look at my case.
I remember, Steve, when in Trump's America, children were being taken from their parents and migrants were detained and some of them deported. And there were really strong moral, political voices in the UK condemning that at the time. Are we at a point now where that could be happening in the UK?
We're getting close to something like that. The legislation the UK government got through Parliament last year included a provision that would effectively prohibit courts from looking at the detention of someone over the first 28 days of them being held. So that's people basically being disappeared by the state with no judicial control over what is happening to them, completely at the mercy of the Home Office.
And where would they be kept? Where would they be detained?
Well, there are several detention centres around the UK. The UK has long had a fairly extensive number of detention facilities, although a few years ago it had been reducing its detention estate. It's now fast increasing it.
And there could be, I know I think when Suella Braverman was secretary, there was a plane ready to go. There was a late Supreme Court challenge and it never left with migrants on it. Could that be happening now, that they would leave on planes? It's almost incredible to ask.
Well, this was the latest piece of legislation that the government has only just forced through Parliament. That law effectively tells our Supreme Court that what it found on the evidence about the safety of Rwanda is to be ignored, and no UK court can ever question that, whatever the evidence may show, ever again. That's what that law is intended to do.
Stay with me, Steve, for a second. I'll go back to John Lannan from Thurles. I'm sure you've been listening. Can I ask about your reaction to the general spat between the Irish and British governments based on what John has been saying? Do you agree?
There are a few points to note here. First of all, vulnerable people are being used as pawns. In the first instance, by UK politicians ahead of the local elections, we're seeing a worsening of the hostile environment for refugees there. With the UK's inhumane policy of sending asylum seekers to Ukraine, a country which incidentally has a stark record of human rights abuses, it's no wonder that some people are seeking safety in Ireland if they can. And as has been said, the UK's system of asylum is hugely problematic. Their illegal migration bill risks exposing people to serious harm. And our High Court actually ruled in March that Ireland's designation of the UK as a safe third country to which asylum seekers can be returned for processing is unlawful as a matter of EU law. So we're looking now at the prospect of UK sending asylum seekers to Rwanda, something that's been condemned by the UN Refugee Agency, the Council of Europe and others who have said that the legislation undermines human rights protections. But safeguarding of asylum seekers is crucial. Attempting to send people back to the UK would almost certainly, put that at risk. I'd be particularly worried now here in Ireland if we have the drafting of hasty new legislation which would fail to provide the necessary safeguards to ensure people are not put at further risk.
Can I ask you one question on that? There is a regulatory and a political difficulty, isn't there? Because we have the common travel area for historical reasons and good reasons between Ireland and the UK. And if that is being used by asylum seekers, and if a large proportion of the migrants coming to the country are coming through that channel, which is not quote-unquote regularised, let's say, does that not present a difficulty for the authorities in Ireland? And how would you propose to deal with that?
Well, notwithstanding the fact that we're soon to enter a new debate in relation to the EU Migration and Asylum Pact. Right now we have an International Protection Act that says a person who has attained the age of 18 years, who's at the frontier of the state or is in the state, either lawfully or unlawfully, may make an application for international protection. And they're actually in breach of their own legislation by, first of all, failing to grant people the opportunity to apply for international protection. And if they do, then by attempting to forcibly remove them. We hear the words deterrent and disincentive being used quite a lot now in debates around all of this. But it's important to remember as well that people will always need to seek asylum, given the extent of the wars and the oppression and the persecution around the world. We've over 100 million people forcibly displaced from their homes now. We know that people are prepared to risk their lives to reach safety. So deterrence is never going to be an adequate response to our international protection obligations.
So the right way to do it is to increase the provision and accommodation and public service and so on. Are you saying that the government shouldn't at all seek to decrease the number of migrants coming into the country from the UK via Northern Ireland, John?
The government should ensure that there's a fair procedure in place that's accessible to everybody that wants to seek international protection here in Ireland. And as you say, instead of focusing on the deterrence, they need to ensure that they provide the basic accommodation, the basic supports for everybody who arrives
here. But does that mean all migrants who might come to the UK initially and then feel they might get a fair hearing in Ireland, in the Republic?
Well, as we said, given how unsafe the United Kingdom is for many people now, they have, in some cases, got no alternative but to try to seek it in Ireland. There's certainly quite a bit of work that needs to be done in terms of ensuring that people do not continue to be pawns in this spat between the two governments. In fact, it's really important here, I think, in all of the discourse to realise that we are talking about people. We're not just talking about numbers or goods. You know, people who may have risked a lot because they had to train to reach safety.
And
we should never be looking at people or treating them as if they were parcels to be sent back to Center.
And they're in an incredibly vulnerable position, without doubt. I might ask Steve Alde-Simmons, so in relation to the Rwanda policy, if the UK is to be viewed as unsafe now because of this policy, we know there's a general election on the horizon in the UK. Is that likely, if Labour comes into power, could it be reversed, that policy?
Well, so far, Labour has been clear that the deal with Rwanda is not something that they intend to pursue, and obviously we welcome that. But the underlying issue is not so much simply whether the UK is going to continue seeking to simply expel people to Rwanda. The bigger issue is the UK as a country going to stop its general position of refusing to deal with people's asylum claims here and simply look for someone else to take responsibility? That is not going to help the UK, and it's not going to help anyone else. And obviously it leaves the individual people affected in the most miserable uncertainty.
Okay, It's very, very difficult politically, no question about it, when you go to the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of discussing it at a national level, as we've seen unfold in the UK over the last number of years, this question of migration. We'll leave it there for the moment. Steve Valde-Simmons, Refugee and Migrant Rights Programme Director with Amnesty International UK, and John Lannan of Doris Limney. Thank you both very much.